listening to the New Mamas Podcast. Hello, everyone. It's your host, Lena Forrestal, and today I have Dr. Sam on the podcast to talk about the relationship between mothers and their infants and how Dr. Sam's work has helped her figure out exactly what newborns need to feel safe and connected, and how this deeply affects who our children grow up to be and whether they feel safe in the world. This topic is really important to me because I grew up in an immigrant family where my parents were just simply, they moved to the US from another country. My dad was a refugee 3 times and they really did the best they could as parents. But I definitely grew up feeling really unsafe and in my adult life, really working through a lot of the anxiety that was just passed on to me through generational trauma and even just some of the stuff that I went through in childhood. I mean, I have so much compassion for my parents and how they did the best they could, but I definitely now as a parent with a son want to really do things different than the way I grew up. So Dr. Sam, yes, I'm so excited.
You can call me Sam.
I can. Okay, cool. I'm just really excited to learn more about you and your work.
Thank you, Lena. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. Welcome to the pod. So tell us a little bit more about like, how did you get into doing this kind of research?
Yeah. So I was a psychologist for 18 years. I had a private practice. I was a licensed clinical psychologist and I worked one-on-one with people. And as I started getting deeper into the work, I started noticing these patterns across all my clients, regardless of their age, their gender, their socioeconomic status, how they vote, you know, their sexual orientation. It didn't matter who they were. They were all talking about the same 12 things. And they were even using the same language to describe these same 12 things. And so I started realizing there's a code, there's a pattern, and there's really only 12 problems we have as human beings. And I call these problems our coping styles. And what I've discovered is that we develop these problems or coping styles as children, as defense mechanisms when we don't get exactly what we need at certain stages of development in our first 5 years of life. So I've sort of discovered what these 12 things are, how they're caused, when they're caused, and how to help them at any age. So we can help them by not creating them in our kids in these early days, or we can help them in ourselves in the now, or in our kids of any age, really. It doesn't matter if our kids are 6 months old or 6 years old or 60 years old, we can help our kids of any age with the techniques I've developed with my healing modality I call Source Code.
That is fascinating. And I think every mom listening is glued to the edge of her seat because we really just want to do right by our kids. And we really appreciate the dialogue out there today about raising emotionally intelligent children, gentle parenting. Like, I feel like there's a lot of dialogue around that. And I'm appreciative that there's different parenting styles now being shown versus when my mom became a mother. The only way she really knew how was by her own mother or what she saw generationally around her. So I feel like it's easier today to parent differently and there's just more resources. So how important are those first 0 to 3 months in a child's emotional development?
Well, in my system of understanding with Source Code, the first 3 months are really an important time for two specific developmental needs. One is the sense that we are in the right place at the right time with the right people on the right planet. And that's how we become adults who feel connected and feel like we belong. The way that we start to have a visceral sense of whether we are in the right place at the right time is as newborns, if we are understood by our parents, which means that our private inner world of feelings and needs and sensations is met in some coherent way by our outer world. So if we're feeling hot, someone's taking off our sweater. Oh, that's good. That corresponds. That feels like a fit. That's a match. That feels right. If we're feeling hungry, we get the breast. You know, if we're feeling gassy, we get burped. It's like there's some kind of loop of communication going with our caregiver, which makes our inner world match with our outer world. That makes us feel understood. And when we feel understood, we feel like, oh, this must be the right place for me. If we don't feel understood, we feel like it it's the wrong place at the wrong time on the wrong planet with the wrong people. And maybe there's something wrong with me. And we feel like we have to disconnect to cope. And that's when we develop what I call the disconnected coping style. And there's four different ways we can disconnect. And we can talk about those later. But essentially, we end up our whole lives feeling like we're on the outside looking in at life and we don't really belong here. And this isn't really the right fit for me.
Right. And in the book, I got the opportunity to see a couple of your chapters. In the book, you write an example of the child is hot or the newborn, the infant is hot. And instead, they get a boob popped in their mouth or they have a wet diaper and instead they get their sweater taken off. Like that's where a lot of that disconnect seems to happen. And then you also mentioned, let's talk about the four different ways newborns can become disconnected. In the book, you gave an example of, I think it was like an overstimulated newborn where they're in a room with a lot of people in there, a lot of chatter, which I think happens to a lot of moms where they're in a room with a lot of family and friends with their itty bitty newborns. And that newborn can get very quickly overstimulated. And the four disconnected, I'm probably going to get this wrong, stiff, flighty, floaty, and masked. Can you talk a little bit about these four ways newborns become disconnected and then how that carries on into adulthood?
Yeah. And I also just want to clarify, I don't think that I have any examples in the book of someone being a child being in a room full of chatter because
my bad.
Children are used to being in a room full of chatter because they're in the womb. They're always in a room full of chatter when their parents are out and about and doing things. And so it's really tuning into a child and what they need. There is an example of a child being overstimulated by very loud, like, "Ooh, hello," you know, like trying to engage.
That was what I read.
Yes. Yep. Because newborns actually need really gentle attunement. They don't like intensity. It's too much for them. But if your newborn is totally happy and relaxed, whether strapped to your body or in a little bassinet in a room full of people, maybe they're fine there. It's really just the ability to tune in and to feel if they're okay. Are they okay right now? Do they need me to take them outside? And being in tune with your newborn is how they become connected. So yeah, so the four subtypes you mentioned are exactly right. And we can kind of think of them as compensatory mechanisms that develop later in life of how to deal with the fact that they don't feel understood. So do we want to break down each of them?
Would yeah, like please. Yeah, super curious.
Okay, great. So one of them is what I call the floaty subtype of disconnected. And this is those of us who get really spacey and we're essentially dissociating. We're checking out. We are floating away on a pleasant cloud of endorphins, and we have a very rich world of imagination inside. We know how to daydream, and we often have fantasy characters in our minds that we're more attached to than the people in our real world. So we have like a whole cast of characters inside that we feel connected to. And that's because this world didn't feel like a fit. So we found a way to go away inside and disappear into another world that we get to create that does feel like a fit for us. And so we'll, sometimes floaty infants can feel fine left. You can just leave them alone for hours at a time. They're just sitting there staring into space and you're like, oh, I just have a really happy baby. But it's like, oh, they're actually checked out. If you think you just have like this super zen baby, but their eyes are glazed over and they're not really there, they may already be developing the floaty subtype of disconnected. And you'll see this in your kids later. If you're like, hello, were you listening to me? Did you hear me for this seventh time? You know, earth to my kid. And that's how you can know they may be floaty. And you may find this also in yourself or in your partner as you're reflecting on this of like, oh my God, I know someone like that. That's my brother. That's my cousin. That's why they're like that. If you think about characters in movies like Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter, she's yep. floaty.
That's actually exactly who I thought of. It's so funny you bring her up.
You pictured her?
Well, I pictured Harry Potter in general when you were talking about escaping into other worlds, because that's definitely the world I escaped to when I was a child. And then I started to think of Luna when you like someone's like very floaty and
yes.
Yeah, she's a great character.
Do you identify at all as floaty, do you think?
100%. Like I'll cry like when a book is over, a book series is over. And I actually have explained this feeling so many times of missing characters in books as if they were like friends that aren't there in my world anymore. It's really the weirdest feeling, but I get really deeply connected even to characters on TV shows. Like Game of Thrones was one where I was just so deeply connected to each of the characters. Yeah, so that's interesting for sure.
So interesting that the very first subtype, the very first coping style we're talking about just happens to be you. Now we all have several coping styles. I had all 12 coping styles, which is what allowed me to be the conduit for this work. But so here we are looking at one of your coping styles. Is it okay if we talk about it in you a little bit?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. So what I've noticed with floaty people is that when there's any discomfort in the actual world, that's when there's the most floating away. Do you ever notice that? Like you're in an uncomfortable situation and you start to daydream. Tell me about that. Tell your audience about that.
Oh yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that can identify with this. Sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Just like my earliest childhood memories, like I mentioned that my parents did their best, absolute best, so much love for them. But they were really working and struggling in their relationship when I was a little girl. And when I didn't want to hear certain things or be caught in the line of fire or any way, I would really dive into other worlds, whether that was books or video games or comic books. It was usually a world that was not like this. It wasn't a real world. And I never idolized real people like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or Britney Spears. I always liked superheroes or things just of real sci-fi and fantasy. I think because like you mentioned, you don't feel super connected to this world. And I think to this day, I actually still find so much comfort in fantasy novels and fantasy worlds, not because I feel disconnected to the world right now. I've done a lot of work in myself to like feel more grounded and trust and have lower anxiety and lower stress response. But it just gives me a comfort. Like it's almost like I'm going home. It's the weirdest. It's not weird, but it's definitely something that I can't shake. Like I've tried to read other books. I've tried to watch other movies, other shows, but I just can't get out of what makes me comfortable.
That's so beautifully put. And thank you for being so vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. When we're disconnected, home feels like the imaginary place feels like home. And this place feels like not home because this place was the place where things felt mismatched and itchy, scratchy, and too harsh. Oftentimes we get the floaty style when there was a lot of like intense fighting between our parents.
Yeah.
And so it's just easier to float away on a little cloud of endorphins and be somewhere else, be in a fantasy realm. And that fantasy realm feels like home. And this place doesn't feel like home. So in our first 3 months, you know, this idea of whether we're going to become connected or disconnected, the burning question, even though we don't even have words yet to describe it, is, am I home? Is this home? And if it's not welcoming enough, safe enough, gentle enough, attuned enough, we don't feel home. And we've got to create a home somewhere else, which is what the floaty subtype is all about. Let me ask you something. Have you noticed that you are not so sensitive to pain? Like, can you eat super spicy food, put your hands in hot water, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Like my whole arm. I have a whole tattoo sleeve. I enjoyed the pain of childbirth. Like I do have a very high tolerance for pain, for sure.
Yes. So when we have the floaty subtype of disconnected, here's the thing. I've actually really been able to catalog all human suffering and like figure out what it is, what caused it, and how to shift it. It's bananas. But when we have the floaty subtype of disconnected, we have a very high pain tolerance because we've left our bodies essentially. We don't really live in our bodies.
I'm blown away. That's wild.
It's more like we're hovering above our bodies, looking down at life. Do you ever feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's how very interesting. How do we make sure as parents now that is it a bad thing? Like, is this something we'd like to prevent in our children? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, they are coping styles.
Ah, coping.
Because
okay.
There are ways of coping with an environment that didn't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love for you and everyone I love to not have to be floaty and dissociative and to be able to be in your body and feel things. That's just my personal preference. I would love for everyone I know and love to be connected and not disconnected and to not have to have these coping styles, but instead to get to live in the antidote, which is to be connected. So there is a benefit to being floaty, which is that you don't really feel pain. And that, you know, childbirth just ends up feeling like a strong sensation that's actually like, wow, I get to feel something. I usually don't feel much in this body of mine. But what if you could feel everything? You know, when I've brought people out of the floaty coping style, I notice there's some emotion coming up.
Oh, you really? You can see it in like the blurry Zoom audio?
Yes, I see.
I don't know. I don't know what where it's coming from, actually. It's not bad. It's not bad emotion. It's like, it's good emotion. It's just, well, I think what came up for me was when you talked about bringing people out of that, and it's actually so scary to feel. Like when you become a mom, for example, I feel like when I became a mom, it was the hardest thing, not because of the late nights or the feedings, but it's this deep love that you feel and you're so scared of losing it. And it feels like the very first time in your life, like at least in my life, that I've really felt connected to something or someone. So I think that has been the hardest part of motherhood is like, I feel like I never really lived for anything or anyone until I had this child. And now it's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to lose this. And then that's, yeah, where a lot of like my postpartum anxiety and came from. So yeah, very interesting. Your work seems genius, actually, because it's like, wow, I've never actually heard any of this before.
Yeah, it's all pretty original stuff. And it's really hopefully quite useful stuff. But what you're saying, I find is really common is if we have the disconnected coping style ourselves, having children actually can start to bring us out of disconnected and allow us to connect because we do feel a love and a bond and a connection deeper than we ever thought was possible.
Oh, yeah. Deeper than anyone. Like, I'm sorry to my husband, but like, it's just not the same, like feeling it with a child.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of having this child is bringing you into connection. You're like, oh, something here, something real, something that's not a fantasy actually matters to me in this new way. But then it triggered, it sounds like this other coping style, which is the other newborn coping style, weirdly. I mean, the odds are in our favor today, but it sounds like it triggered the frictive coping style, which is the other style I wanted to talk about today besides disconnected, which is this fear of abandonment, fear of loss, fear of existential annihilation, things separating indefinitely, right?
And what was that coping style name?
I call it the frictive coping style. And I can explain a little bit more about how that gets formed. But it's like right when you start to land with your child, you said your daughter, right?
Is it my son.
Yeah, right when you start to land with your son and make contact and finally come out of that disconnected realm, and start to come out of fantasy and into reality and make contact. Oh my God, I'm connected. Boom. It's triggering your frictive wound. Oh no. What if I lose connection? What if I lose this contact? Right. And that's this thing you're calling postpartum anxiety. So let me tell you a little bit about the frictive coping style. So it's also a newborn wound. And again, there's 12 coping styles. They're spread out over the first 5 years of life. The two we're going to be talking about today are the ones that are formed during our first 3 months. The frictive coping style is when we don't get enough physical containment. So let me explain what I mean by that. I know most of your moms listening are going to know about what we call the fourth trimester. As humans, we're born really before we're ready to be born. We essentially needed more time in the womb, but our heads are too big to come through our mother's pelvises at that age. So we got to just get out. But that's why we need to be constantly held and swaddled and held skin on skin in our first 3 months of life. They call it the fourth trimester because we're still needing to be pressed on all sides, just like we were in the womb. We need intense physical connection at all times because when we're pressed on and especially held skin on skin, we start to feel a sense of our own bodies. We feel our skin pressing up against something, which gives us a sense of that we are there, that we have matter, that we matter to someone. Mattering and having matter really go together, that we have flesh and bones and skin. The more we're pressed on and held skin on skin and also gazed at, that deep seeing of like, I see you, you're here with me, you exist. We need that nearly constantly in our first 3 months to be held skin on skin and to be really seen so that we start to feel like we exist as a fact. Without that, we never get a sense of our physical container of our body or ourself as something that is existentially certain. So we feel forever at risk of being wiped out, forgotten, disappeared, coming apart, our molecules losing their valence and fragmenting, falling off the face of the earth and hurtling through space with nothing to catch us. And that's frictive anxiety. Now, as I'm talking about this, I'm noticing you're getting a little emotional again.
Am I? I don't mean to. Sorry, I'm so weepy today.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you're feeling things. It tells me that we're actually touching these core wounds in you. And maybe we're going to get to actually heal them a little bit today.
Yeah, thank you. I guess, like, I hope it's a compliment that your work is actually really powerful because it's touching me so deeply. I just think about, sorry, let me collect my thoughts a little bit. It's frictive, correct? The coping mechanism. It's interesting that that's in the 0 to 3 months of a child's development. And I think about what a lot of advice or comments that new moms get that I hear about, and even I got when I was becoming a new mom, of you don't want to spoil that baby. Stop picking that baby up. You don't need to pick them up every time they cry. And I just remember even being a mom of when my son was a newborn, how if anything could be like the opposite of primitive, like it's just unnatural. It was so unnatural to me when someone was like, you don't want to spoil that baby. If you're going to spoil that baby, if you keep picking them up, I'm like, this is my son who's doesn't know anything about the world. He's a newborn. Why wouldn't I pick him up if he's crying? It's so weird. And I wonder if that was a common piece of parenting advice, is a whole generation feeling that? I guess that's just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about in indigenous cultures, newborns are simply strapped to the mother's body at all times. There's just that baby carrier strapped in on the body. It's pressed up against mama all day, every day. And that's what we need as newborns. It's not about even just picking them up when they cry. It's about not putting them down very much. It's about keeping them pressed on us nearly all the time because they're still growing their psychic skin. They're still growing. They still need to be in the womb. That's why we call it the fourth trimester.
Psychic skin.
Tell me about this. Yeah. Tell me about this emotion that's bubbling up, because I think it's important for your listeners too to know about this. Like, is it grief? Is it that you're finally feeling seen because you felt like you needed that? Like, tell me about it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. So when I was, my parents, again, worked hard in their relationship. When I was 9, my mom left me with my grandma for a year. My dad was working in another country and she went to go join him with my sister, who was a newborn, or she was very young at the time. Couldn't have been a year old, but I was left with my grandmother. And I remember feeling this like abandonment, I guess. And I think I've buried those emotions for so many years, and they've come out in so many different pockets of my life where I felt a lot of desperation. Like, I remember in my early, very serious relationships, my first ones before my husband, like I remember like feeling the desperate need sometimes for like validation, and that this person wasn't going to leave me, which is so hard to look back on. And you're like, why were you this person? Why didn't you have more self-respect and more love for yourself? But it was like, I was just going through things from childhood that I didn't even remember happened to me, because you just sometimes you have a tendency to like block these things out.
Hey everyone, it's your host, Lena Forrestal, taking a quick break from this podcast episode to ask you to support the show. I do this show because I love it, and as a self-funded creator, your support can help me pay for things like podcast hosting and an editor. So here's how you can help. Share this episode with a mom friend, caretaker, or soon-to-be mom friend. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you wanted to throw me some coins, you can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Any little bit helps, and I appreciate your support. Finally, give me a follow on Instagram at Lena Forrestal. I love meeting my listeners, so definitely send me a DM and introduce yourself. Now, let's get back to the show.
It's actually kind of crazy that so much of our development happens in this really small pocket of life as children, and it affects us for the whole other like 60 years of living, let's say.
Exactly. It really does. Yeah. So this frictive wound, it's a newborn wound. And if we don't get that kind of holding that gives us that sense of physical containment, we do fear abandonment very intensely. We have a newborn terror that lives within us with any loss. It could be the fear of someone abandoning us, or literally just, I can't find my sunglasses. Anytime we lose anything, it feels like we're going to die in an infantile way because it's an infantile wound. Now you remember something from 9, which is good memory, but that thing was not caused at 9. Now a 9-year-old who's left alone with grandma for a year might feel hurt.
Yeah.
That kind of abandonment kind of left, but the terror, it's the newborn wound that's now getting recapitulated in the 9-year-old situation. So if we have enough holding and containment and smushing as little newborns, we grow a sense of self that doesn't change with the weather, that we know we exist as a fact and we're secure and we're not scared. Things can come and go and we're not scared because things do come and go. And we still exist as a fact. We develop what's called object permanence in psychology. And so, yeah, so we know we're a fact. We know other things are a fact. Things aren't just going to disintegrate and disappear on us. But if we don't get that kind of holding, we do feel that all our whole life long, we're terrified of things disintegrating and disappearing. And that's what's going on with you and your son right now. What we would need to do is help you get into the antidote of frictive, which is to be spacious and to start to learn that space itself is the only constant. It's the only thing we can depend on to hold us. So 99.999% of our bodies and every cell in our bodies is made up of empty space. The whole universe is mostly empty space. And that space is our safe container and it can hold us. I use the word frictive because when we don't feel physically contained and like our bodies exist as a fact, we have to rub up against everything and create a friction that will keep us tethered to this world. And that is created through intensity, like intense feelings, intense thoughts, like a sense of intensity, a full schedule, very busy all the time. That's how we create the friction that keeps us tethered here, because any times of stillness or silence or open space, we're like, I'm disappearing. And so we need to keep ourselves tethered with all this friction. But actually, the antidote is to learn how to find the sort of the eye of the storm inside of ourselves, like that still, quiet, gentle, spacious place inside, and anchor into that. I like to say we anchor ourselves into the stable firmament of nothingness.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It isn't until it isn't. Do you want to play with it right now and see if we can actually viscerally find it so that instead of space feeling terrifying, it actually feels like something buoyant that can hold you?
Yeah, of course. And I was kind of being like in jest a little bit, but it's funny that, again, I feel like you hit the nail on the head of like what I do now as an adult is, and I feel like a lot of people can relate, like having that really full schedule, like having like I've my full-time job, I have a podcast, I have a side hustle, we have a farm, I have way too much stuff going on and I know it, but that's the only place I feel comfortable, I think, which just dawned on me, is because I'm scared to have to feel that nothing feeling. That's really foreign to me.
Yes, it feels, when we're frictive, it feels like the void of nothingness is going to swallow us up and we're going to cease to exist. It's very frictive is an existential life or death, you know, fear of not existing. And so the only way we feel our existence is by doing something.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm going to help you right now. Why don't we do a little embodiment exercise?
Let's do it. And sure. Listeners, you can follow along.
So why don't you just take a deep breath and just drop your awareness, if you close your eyes, deep into your inner self, like your energetic self that's deeper than your flesh and bones in your body. And there's a place in there, like I was saying before, that's kind of like the eye of the storm, you know, like in a hurricane, there's actually a still, spacious center of the hurricane that isn't swirling. So all the activity, the job, the side hustle, the podcast, the life on the farm, the son, the husband, all of that swirling is still what it is. But there's a part of you that's not any of that swirling, a part of you that's never changed in any way. It's your essence, and it's still, and it's silent, and it's more of who you really are. Can you sense that part of you now?
I think the visualization really helps. Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know why, but it felt like I could taste it. Like that's like a weird sense, but I was like, I feel like I could see it and I can almost taste it. And I don't know if taste means like I could just like feel it all over type of thing. I could feel that sense. So yes. I feel like tapping into that would be good for me.
Yeah. What does it taste like?
It felt, I don't know. For some reason, I felt sweetness, but like a tiny bit of bitterness. Like it was just really interesting. It's really hard to describe, but I was like, oh, I feel like I can taste this. It's just interesting.
Oh, yum. Okay. Let's keep tasting it. Let's just taste for another few minutes. We're like anchoring in a new reality right now where you're spacious and not frictive. So before, all that activity and swirling and doing felt like the existing and it felt like the self. So now we're shifting your embodiment that the self is actually this sweet, rich tasting other part that's really still, and really let yourself taste it for a minute. When we're switching from one reality to another, I like to talk about how whatever's visceral, whatever we feel inside, becomes what's real for us. So I call it the visceral real. So really just allow yourself to get a deep taste of what spaciousness is, because before it felt like spaciousness was the not me thing and the swirling and doing and intensity was the me thing. So now we're starting to shift the identity to being identified with this beautiful, sweet space. What's happening now inside?
It feels like when you're on a ride in an amusement park and you finally like step off that ride, but your world is still moving, but you're like, wow, I'm so glad I'm on the ground again. That's kind of like what it felt like of like, I don't know if you're sure you've had that feeling of like, oh, yes, glad we're off that ride. That's kind of what it felt like.
Yes, that's so beautiful. And you're describing it perfectly, because what I've found is there's a really important dialectic between ground and spaciousness. We're anchored into like ground. We're grounded. Gravity's got us. We're not going to disappear. We don't have to keep moving and going and doing. We're anchored. And then there can be all this lightness.
Yeah.
And letting go and trust, because we're not on that scary ride anymore.
Yeah.
It does not have to be chaotic anymore.
Doesn't have to be chaotic anymore. Wow. I just think that's very powerful, because I think a lot of us probably describe our, you know, just life with a kid or baby or kids to be chaotic, but being able to tap into that stillness is really grounding, for I guess lack of better words. It just feels like that anchor, I guess, of like, okay, I've come back into myself. I'm not like tendrils, like the way I'm visualizing it is just like tendrils coming out and they're all swirling in different directions, and instead it feels like everything's been recoiled back into myself and it's almost like a reset.
I have chills. That is so beautifully said. And now I want you to think about how those two different embodiments affect your relationship with your son and affect your son and his relationship to reality. Is if there's a swirling tendril mama versus a held together mama, what's his experience of reality going to be like? Because you're his whole world right now.
Yeah, definitely a desire to control the outcome of experiences for him, because I just want him to be happy and safe and loved.
And that's so beautiful. And that's so much more than our parents' generation could you know, want for us. But when we're in that tenderly frictive place, we're like, is he okay? Is that, I want to be happy. And he's like, what the fuck is happening? You know, it's like too much.
Overbearing.
When we're in that pulled in, grounded, spacious, still place, oh yes, he's okay. We get to know he's okay. And then that thing that was called postpartum anxiety isn't there anymore. It's like, okay, we get to know he's okay because we're okay. Everything's okay.
I feel like this work is a testament to just the way I'm visualizing it is my healing is just directly impacts his upbringing.
Absolutely. So in Source Code, we do the work on ourselves. So we haven't even introduced my work. My work is called Source Code. And in Source Code, we do the work on ourselves first. and everything is interconnected. And so us healing ourselves heals everyone, especially our children. And the whole reason we're having this talk is that I'm teaching this class called Parenting as Love, which begins May 24th, where I am going to be, it's a 14-week course, and I'm going to be taking parents through each of the 12 coping styles. And we're going to be feeling into, okay, how does this coping style get formed? How did it form for us as kids if we have this coping style? And how does having this coping style affect my kids and the way that I parent? And how can I shift my coping style to parent differently? And how can I be mindful of not creating this coping style in my child? And if I already have, because we do, if I see signs of this coping style in my child already, how can I make subtle energetic shifts in the moment that can free them from this coping style so they don't have to live a life stuck in that fractal of pain? Mm-hmm. So that's what this course is on. So today you and I have been focusing on two of the 12 coping styles, and we only got through one subtype of the four subtypes of disconnected. But this kind of exactly what you and I have been doing today is kind of what the course is going to be. So it's going to be guiding parents through embodiment exercises, just like we just did, to help us feel the antidote for each style so that we heal ourselves and we heal our kids. And the reason that I'm not a psychologist anymore, I don't identify that way, is that source code is energetic. So it's not like therapy and it's not like coaching. It's not something about the mind and it's not something you have to white knuckle and it's not something that you have to do over and over again. It's a shift in the now from a messy tendrilled thing to a contained, grounded, soft, spacious thing. And once you become that, you're like, oh, this is the new me. And all of a sudden my son is much more regulated and so am I. And our connection feels clear and I'm not afraid to be apart from him anymore. Huh, look at that. It's a quick, easy, deep shift of the whole reality. So that's what source code does.
And how long is your course?
The course is 14 weeks. It's May 24th. No, sorry, May 25th. I apologize. We thought it was going to be on Wednesdays, but it's on Thursdays. May 25th through August 4th.
And is it a live class that you take with others, or how does it work?
It's live on Zoom. Then there'll also be a Mighty Networks, which is like it's kind of like a private Facebook group where everyone's chatting between classes. And then there's also a follow-up class each week that for integration. It's optional. You don't have to come to that. But you're going to be paired in groups of four with other parents. So it's amazing for creating community because these are all these like-minded, heart-centered, curious, intelligent parents that are like, I want to know who I am and how to help my kids, you know, and you'd be put in groups of four to kind of explore questions about how is this material integrating? So each week you'll be, you know, present for the teaching. And then there'll be one tiny homework assignment to do that 1 week, like experiment with this, with your kids. Like, let's say for Frictive, maybe it would be notice when you're the tentacled thing and notice when you can find the stillness and notice how that impacts your son and the dynamic with your son. And that would be just the one small homework assignment to just keep checking in all week. And then in the follow-up call, there'd be an integration of like, how did that go? What did you notice? You know, what's coming up for you? What are the blocks to it? What are the fears of it? What's working with it? And then we would move on the next week to the following coping style.
And why 14 weeks?
So there's 12 coping styles total. So there's each week we'll do a deep dive on one of the 12 coping styles. The first week of the course, we're going to do an overview of all 12 styles, because each week when we deep dive into one coping style, I'm going to be talking about how having that one coping style can create other coping styles in your kid. And if you don't have a reference for what those other coping styles are, you won't know what I'm talking about. So week one is the big overview. Week two is the disconnected style, the first newborn wound. Week three is the frictive coping style, the second newborn wound. And then we move into infancy and then toddlerhood, post-toddlerhood, and then the Oedipal phase, which is 5 years old when we're integrating our sexual selves. And then the last course is an integration, and it's me explaining more about sort of energy and how our lives are kind of mirrored reflections of us.
That sounds really cool. I feel like there's a lot, it's just jam-packed with a lot of great information that people can take lifelong.
Yes. And you have lifetime access. And if you can't make it live to any of the classes, that's fine. There's going to be visual recordings, audio recordings, and you'll have lifetime access. So if you just want to use it as like a podcast, that, like the one you're listening to now and driving in the car and listening to the classes, fine. So it can work for anyone with any schedule, lifetime access to the material. So it's really exciting.
And how can someone go by purchasing or opting into this experience?
Are you an affiliate?
Yes. I signed up.
You should give your audience your unique affiliate link so that, you know, people can be coming in through you. If you don't post that, people can just go to my website, drsamrader.com, drsamrader.com. And you'll see I'm either I'm here for me and my kids or I'm here for just me. Click I'm here for me and my kids and it'll take you straight to the description page of the whole Parenting as Love course. And even on that page is a free masterclass that you can download where I'm talking about another set of coping styles, which is about how our will gets formed, which comes later. Obviously, that's not a newborn thing. That's later. That's sort of a 2 to 4, let's say. Yeah. So if you want to get even more of a taste of my work, you can download that free masterclass. And then if you get excited and want to join us, class begins May 25th, and I would be so honored to welcome your community in.
Yeah, I think it would be really beneficial to a lot of us new moms out there who are really figuring things out for the first time, but also figuring ourselves out for the first time. I feel like when you become a mom, you almost wake up. I think that's like the realization that you have. You become a mom, you just wake up. It's hard to explain. You're like, oh, wow. This is who I am. This is what I want. Or it's just, yeah, interesting.
I feel like kids are just the most incredible mirror for our stuff. So it's impossible to not wake up. But once we know and we're awake and we're saying things like, shit, I have postpartum anxiety. It's like, but what do we do? And that's why Source Code is kind of the map. Source Code is the guidebook that allows us to not tip too far into chaos so that we understand, okay, if I feel off, why am I off of this? It's just one of these 12 problems. There's no more than 12 problems we have as humans. So it's one of these 12. And okay, if it's this one, what's the way to get out of it? Oh, it's this. And then we just shift in the moment. It's such a simple, easy to understand system. And it pairs really well with every other style of parenting. You know, if you're an attachment-based parenting, if you're a ride, if you're gentle parent, if you're whatever you like, Source Code does not get in the way of that whatsoever. It just supports it and helps it become more clear.
It's just giving you more tools, it sounds like. So it's interesting that you can have, so these coping styles are really, like, you don't just have one coping style and then that's it.
Nope. So today we identified you are floaty, disconnected, and frictive. And who knows what else if we went through all the other coping styles.
Yeah, but it's helpful to understand what coping style you are so you know how to navigate yourself out of the chaos, out of that coping style. Yeah. You mentioned when you're signing up for the course, you can click on I'm here, me and my kids or me, right? Just me. Yeah. What's the difference between those two?
Oh, on my website. Well, it's just this like secondary kind of landing page that we designed since we're doing the Parenting is Love course so that people who click I'm here for me and my kids go straight to the Parenting is Love course. And people who click I'm here for me, they just enter my normal website, which has tons of other offerings, you know, from helping people manifest quantum wealth to showing them what their coping styles are to people can do one-on-one coding sessions. I have a team of people who know how to kind of bring people through kind of what I brought you through of like, okay, so we're determining this is the issue. Here's how we solve it. And actually if people sign up for the Parenting is Love course, we're bundling in with that a free one-on-one coding session. It's an hour-long session where we do a deep dive into your patterns and how to heal them very quickly, which is normally like $444, but we're adding that in as free. When you sign up for the Parenting is Love course, you get a free one-on-one with someone. So you really feel that personal touch and you really feel understood and helped with how to identify, you know, your main styles. And there's also a quiz on my website that you can take to discover your top coping style.
Wow. That is awesome. So that's May 25th, actually exactly a month from when we're recording. I think this episode goes live next week. So
okay, cool.
Super excited for your course. I think it's going to be so beneficial to so many moms out there. Parenting as Love. I love that.
The thing is, all these coping styles, in my understanding, are basically defenses or blocks against our true nature, which is love. So when we dissolve the fear and the chaos and the disconnect, and we come back to who we really are, we are love. And so dissolving our coping styles allows us to parent as love so that we are love and that we're allowing our children to be who they really are, their core essence of love, because they're not having to defend against our defenses.
Right. Wow. I love that. So I'm blown away. If you want your mind to be blown away, check out the notes, check out the show notes, because I'll have my affiliate link in there for the course. And if not, you can also check out Dr. Sam's website. And then where else can we find you? Can we find you on the socials?
Yes, I'm on Instagram as Dr. Sam Rader, DrSamRader. And I'd love to see you there.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Sam, thank you so much for everything today. My brain is just still downloading everything that happened, but I'm so pleased and delighted by all this information. I feel like it's really unique, original. I've never heard about it or seen it before. So it's really cool.
Thank you for seeing me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and catch us back next week for the next episode. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the New Mamas Podcast. This podcast was created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life and talk about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. I'm your host, Lena Forrestal. I'm a working mom by day and a blogger, photographer, and podcaster by mid-afternoon. And as a first-time mom myself, I'm on this journey with you. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and if you did, be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. You can donate to the show at buymeacoffee.com/newmamaspodcast. Stay in touch by following us on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast and Lena Forrestal. Thanks again, and stay tuned next week for the next episode. Bye!